Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited. I'm your sexy, gracious, and humble host, Daniel Hummer. Welcome to our nerd show. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Unsexy and not so gracious.
It's a pleasure to be here to give you all your geek content for the week. How we doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm excited about the show because we're talking about, the last couple of weeks we've talked about cartoons that I really liked. And the cartoon we're bringing up today was a huge favorite of mine when I was a kid. So looking forward to that, looking forward to the game spotlight, the characters, basically looking forward to that. I just look forward to spending time with you.
Aww, I like you too. Sometimes. We got a lot to get into. We're going to be talking about various things tonight. But before we get into all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
Okay, you got to make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern Time. And it's usually right after wrestling. Well, I mean, depending on how long AEW is going to be on Friday nights, it's going to be during Dynamite. So their viewership, although if Dynamite sucks as much as I've heard it has, DSD's viewership might not suffer that much. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. We are going to do a show on Friday. At first, I talked about not doing one, but plans that I had fell through. And the other plans that I tried to make for myself, or that I'm making for myself, I can do after we do a show.
Yeah.
And the show this upcoming Friday will be Doug's History Lesson, and it's going to be on a WCW mid-carder. There's a poll up on Facebook right now, facebook.com/groups/oldschoolwrestling, also on the Wrestling Umbrella Facebook group and Wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. The people who run those last two groups, I just plugged your stuff, so I expect a check in the mail. So it's basically we have a poll of 10 right now. You can choose. We're either going to do the lesson on Kevin Sullivan, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Flying Brian, Alex Wright, Scott Norton, Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman, Steve Mongo McMichael, Big Bubba Rogers, Lord Steven Regal, or Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yes.
So, but Daniel will not be with us on Friday. You're going to be getting drunk somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be...
I will be leading the show.
And Mindy will be leading the Sunday Scaredy Cat show.
Next week, yes. Now, also, listen, UFC episode will drop. It's going to be recorded later tonight. We will be reviewing UFCs 49 and 92. I'm really looking forward to that because I'm looking forward to talking about both of them. Because there was a slight contrast, I think, in both. There was more controversy in 49.
Yeah.
92 was just fucking brutal.
Yeah, that was brutal knockouts galore.
So, looking forward to that. And that should probably drop Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that we're doing this live.
Yeah.
I don't know. Eric didn't tell me. And then tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Scaredy Cat Show, what the fuck are you guys doing?
This week,
yeah.
We are going to be doing our top 10 favorite horror movies of all time. So it's a little something different for the Scaredy Cat Show. Fans of our wrestling shows and other stuff that we do knows how keen we are to lists and ranking stuff. So we will be doing a top 10 list. Me and Mindy will be ranking our top 10 horror movies of all time. We've given you guys free range in the Facebook group and stuff to send in any suggestions or stuff you want us to talk about.
You should have people send in like their own list.
Yeah, we don't have enough people in that group to have a fan vote. But people are sending us like suggestions and stuff to talk about, and it's definitely affecting our list. So,
cool. I'm looking forward to hearing that. I mean, I know how warped your mind is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I know how warped her mind is too. So I'm looking forward to hearing those lists. I just know that neither one of you will be listing Species 2.
No.
But yeah, that pretty much, that does it, I believe, for the plugs.
All right. So we got a lot to get into tonight, man. First, before we do anything, I do want to get my quick review of Army of the Dead.
Okay.
I just want to say, I know you didn't see it, no, you're not a big zombie guy, but for my loyal geeks out there, I know they checked this movie out. And you will not be disappointed if you haven't seen it yet. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. Zack Snyder's on a hell of a run right now. He's made two of my favorite movies this year so far. We talked about one of them last week. This dude is on a hell of a roll, and I can't wait to check out anything he has in the future. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
And
Army of the Dead was a great movie.
Yes, it was. I watched it with my aunt.
I saw a few minutes of it, and from what I saw, like, but I really didn't, because, again, zombie movies are not my thing.
Yeah.
But, and I really didn't want to get into it, but from what I saw, it looked kind of cool. That asshole in the hat, though, like, he had to go.
Yeah, he did go. He got mauled by a tiger. A few of my notes on it.
Justice.
One, Batista, really good leading man. Underrated at how good of it. Everyone gives, you know, John Cena's getting the praise now, and obviously The Rock for the wrestlers that transitioned over. Batista has to be put in that conversation.
I think here's the funny thing about Batista as, like, a leading man. Now, I haven't seen Stuber yet. Have you? The movie that came out a couple years ago?
No, not the detective one or whatever the hell.
Where he got the Uber driver to drive him around because he's trying to chase somebody, but he can't drive because he's actually, like, legally blind or something.
Right.
So he had to have an Uber driver as his partner?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I mean, obviously, we know how good he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I think there's a few... He's done a couple of them, I think, right?
Yeah, and just his MCU work as a whole and his work as Drax, he's been in the movies that have made as much money as Rock movies. You know, those are big $600 million, billion-dollar movies.
So he's transitioning. See, like, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, like, you know, wrestlers transitioning in movies, like, you had Hogan do it, you had Piper do it, but they weren't really, like, successful.
Yeah. I think he's already transitioned and successful, though.
He has, because he did what Rock was able to do. He did what Cena is doing now.
Yeah, because, I mean, Rock and Cena both haven't been in a Marvel movie, and that is literally the biggest movie franchise of all time right
now. Well, Cena's trying to transition into DC, right?
Yeah, well, so is Rock with the Black Adam. But they're both going DC, and I think Batista might at some point, too, but... Batista has been part of this blockbuster franchise. That is, he was in Endgame. He was in Infinity War, the biggest movie of all time.
Right.
He was in those movies.
So he's doing right now, and trust me, I'm not a huge Batista fan, but Batista the man.
Yeah.
Okay. But Batista the actor, and Batista, like, the wrestler, I did like Batista in that 2005-2006 time range because I enjoyed what he was doing, kind of doing in the ring. But Batista, the actor, yeah, you are right. He is kind of superseding. He's becoming what Rock is, and he's becoming what Cena is becoming. And it's just, to me, it's apropos that he is basically, that him and Cena are basically, like, rising as two of the bigger movie stars right now, because they also rose as two of the biggest wrestlers at the same time. So... it's just like Cena and Batista kind of doing things side by side.
Yeah.
Again. Like,
kind of cool, right?
It's kind of cool because they've done it before and now they're doing it again. And who knows? I swear to God, if both of them ended up buying, like, their own NFL team, like if Cena bought, like, the Patriots from Robert Kraft and Batista bought the Washington football team from whoever owns that or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I could see them doing that at the same time and meeting in the Super Bowl. Because, like, they're destined to become the tops of their profession at the same time.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about Batista, too, is whether you like him as a person or not, he is a known nerd fan. and he's a geek. He loves that shit.
I read that in his book.
Yeah, he's a big comic book guy, big geek guy. He even pitched a movie to Warner Brothers to do a Gears of War movie on the video games. He wanted to be the star of the year. Also, a passion character he's always wanted to play, and I want to get your opinion on this. Dave Bautista really wants to play Bane, and he really wants them to bring Bane back.
He would be a good Bane.
I think he'd
because
be
he has that the muscles for it and all that. And what's actually funny is that he would be the second wrestler to play Bane.
In
Batman and Robin, it was actually when they put the mask on him and gassed him up.
Yeah.
It was Vader.
Was it really?
It was Leon. But nobody could really tell.
Vader was the Batman and Robin?
I mean, he had a non-speaking role because he had the mask on him and all that. But if you look, Vader's arms are actually like really distinct.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually tell it's him just by looking at his arms. But I'm pretty sure, well, legend has it, is that it was Leon. I mean, I'm pretty sure. At least that's what I have been told. Again, you know, I know people lie, but don't forget, it wasn't Vader, it was...
Robert Swenson.
Yeah, Jeep Swenson, who was actually... So I apologize for the false information. I knew it was a wrestler.
And now you got to give him some wrestling. He's a WCW guy.
Yeah, he started in World Class. Yeah. And then he went to WCW. He was actually known as the Ultimate Solution. And WCW, he was part of that Uncensored 96, the Alliance to End Hulkamania thing.
Right.
In that Doomsday Cage, which was horrible.
Yeah.
But his actually, the funny thing with him is his name was actually supposed to be the Final Solution. But somebody actually did their research, and it turns out they couldn't use that name because that actually was the name of something that Hitler did.
Yeah.
So... Although, I mean, I don't think anybody really knew that. Anybody would have known that ahead of time, because I really don't think a lot of people of that nationality really worked for WCW, because none of them were really that cheap. All those kinds of people actually worked for ECW. Notice how I am tiptoeing without having to say the word. I am trying to behave myself here. But yeah, no, so Batista would actually be the second wrestler. Actually, the most well-known. Bless you.
Thank you.
We're having a problem with the sneeze here.
Yeah.
But Batista would actually be the second wrestler to play Bane.
Yeah.
I mean, the first well-known wrestler.
It would be cool to see him do it, though, because I think he could do it. Because Bane's also not that movie, but Bane's known as Cerebral. Mental type guy.
Yeah.
And I think Batista would be able to do that well. So that's one of my notes. Great in Army of the Dead. Great leading man. Tig Notaro actually replaced Chris D'Elia because Chris D'Elia had allegations against him. So they filmed the whole movie with Chris D'Elia as the pilot, right?
Yeah.
And they had to digitally take him out. And Tig Notaro, who was the new pilot, you've heard of her, right? The comedian?
Yeah.
She did all her scenes in front of a green screen, and they digitally put her in the movie. And you can't even tell. Like, and she's walking with him and stuff, and it's supposed to be D'Elia, but it's her walking with him and, like, with him and stuff. So whoever did the special effects and
stuff. Well, and here's the thing. Movies today, like, with the special effects, like, they're amazing. Like, special effects have come a long way.
Yeah, but you look at that first, the Justice League, and Superman's mustache and how they try to digitally do that, and how stupid it looked.
Yeah.
And you look at this, it's like, damn, it can be done right.
Right.
And they did. What are you doing?
Just looking to see if our boss is...
Not our boss. Let's go into the cartoon spotlight, Doug.
Oh, okay. All right. Cartoon spotlight. We are talking real Ghostbusters today. Okay. And so Ghostbusters... everybody knows the film franchise, right?
Yes.
The first one from 1984, the second one that was actually released, I think in 89. Although I remember watching it a lot in like 1994. And that was actually my favorite movie. The second one I thought was better than the first one. Well, the real Ghostbusters cartoon came along in 1986. And seven seasons, even though it was like 5 years, but I think two of those were like half seasons.
Yeah.
And basically what it was is for the first four seasons, it was called The Real Ghostbusters. And then I think season four, maybe season five, I'm not 100% sure, it switched over and it was called Slimer and The Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was going to ask you.
The Slimer, the green slime.
Yes.
So basically, he was their pet.
Yeah, but he got popular with the kids.
Right? Yeah, he got popular with the kids. And so he became like a character on there. You know, he was a main character. I actually have the first 50 episodes on DVD. Or I don't know if it's the first 50 episodes, but I know it's like 50 episodes.
Yeah.
Or 60 or whatever the hell it is. I didn't actually count. I actually happened to see it in a Best Buy about 3-4 years, or actually 5 years ago. And I'm like, you know, I used to really like the show when I was a kid, because like James Bond Jr., you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. This show would actually be on in the morning before I would go to school. So I'd watch this show and then James Bond Jr. You know, in the summertime, you know, there was like a whole bunch of – I can't remember the whole cartoon lineup. If I do, obviously, I'll report them.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they would have it online, what the USA cartoon lineup was back in 1991. If they did, that would be impressive.
That'd be cool, yeah.
I'm going to try to find it. But no, this show was really cool, like, because this was basically, this was Ghostbusters for kids. Because I actually think, and again, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. I actually think the original movie from 1984 was rated R.
Was it?
I remember that being more of an adult movie, yeah. I remember that being an adult movie, but I also remember being, but I also remember the second one being more geared, I think, kind of towards the kids. But, again, I could be wrong.
I think it was probably.
I mean, that makes more sense, because why would they make a cartoon out of a cartoon for kids out of an R-rated movie?
Yeah, I don't think.
But I do remember it being more adult.
Yeah.
And I do. They did have toys. They actually re-released the toy line back in 2020. Because, you know, nowadays they're actually like re-releasing a lot of toy lines.
Yeah.
Thundercats was re-released in 2020. I think the He-Man figures became popular again. And Real Ghostbusters actually got re-released. That's why, like, a lot of toy collectors, like, when they go to look for the stuff and they go on their toy hunts, you know, like me.
Yeah.
They actually look at the back of the packaging to make sure what year these toys were from. Because, yes, these toys were released in, you know, 86, 87. But those ones are worth more of the money. See, the ones from 2020, yes, those ones could actually be resold. Because people actually do go buy the toys, but then resell them. Because they flip it for a higher profit.
Yeah.
It is a thing. All right. It's
drug dealing with toys.
Yeah. And there's nothing really against it, because as long as you sell it for, you know, market value, But yeah, no, the real Ghostbuster stories, like I said, they got re-released in 2020 because they were actually, they were first done by a toy company called Kenner that actually shut down their doors in the early 2000s. And then I think Hasbro picked them back up. Because Hasbro actually bought... Hasbro's funny because Hasbro actually is like the company... You know how like WWE absorbs all these the video libraries and all that of like the old companies that no longer exist?
Yeah.
Hasbro is almost like the WWE of toys.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because they will buy... the distribution rights and the rights to continue making these toys, especially if they're making a lot of money. So they consolidate. They basically, once their competition dies, they buy their competition.
Makes sense.
So I was trying to think of a better example besides WWE, but...
Oh, good. I have a separate question about this show for you.
Sure.
And it's more broad than that, but we did James Bond Jr. the first week we did the show.
Yeah.
And we did Kim Possible last week, but that's more of an original cartoon. And there's a lot of good original cartoons, but around this time we saw the rise in cartoons kind of developing from other properties, right? Like this, or James Bond Jr., or I'm sure you have many more.
We're gonna be doing a lot.
Do you think that those were just because this got popular on its own too? This wasn't just a Ghostbusters spinoff; it became a big thing as a cartoon.
Seven seasons, yeah.
Do you think that them doing that was just kind of cash grabs, or do you think that it helped broaden kind of the universe of the things that they were doing?
It broadened the universe of the things that they were doing because. They were, again, people back then, especially in, like, the 80s, because 80s cartoons were, like, huge.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you had this one, Heathcliff, Turtles were fucking huge.
Yeah.
And even, like, the old cartoons from, like, the 60s and 70s, you know, like the Flintstones and Scooby and Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
They were... reigniting, they were resurging because they got Flintstone kids, Tom and Jerry kids, a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So they were reigniting. And what's actually funny is that, like, when I went toy hunting last week, they this one place I went to, House of Fun in New Jersey, which actually I had no intention on going to. But it actually happened to be closer than the place that I wanted to go to from where we were. And so I told my buddy Kenny, I said, let's just go to this place and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure it's going to suck. We'll go there anyway. Place is fucking huge. And what they actually do is they have a TV. They all day, they play cartoon intros.
You are in heaven.
Oh my God. My friend Liz and I were just sitting there watching the TV, trying to see what cartoon comes up next. And Flintstone Kids actually, played on the TV, like the intro to Flintstone Kids. Kenny looks at me and goes, "They did that?" I'm like, "Yeah, that was the thing."
Yeah. Well, because because Army of the Dead is getting its own cartoon. I mean, it's called an animated series, but still. Aquaman's getting his own cartoon now. Superman and Batman are getting their cartoons again. So do you think – so, I mean, I already asked the question. You already answered it. But so you really think that it helps kind of broaden, you know, certain properties? Like, they got a lot more mileage out of Ghostbusters.
If you want to gear – because, again, like, believe it or not, and I don't know if it's necessarily that way now because a lot of these cartoons or animated series are geared more towards, you know – guys that are my age or guys that are your age or even, you know, I don't want to be gender specific, but, you know, guys and gals or whatever, or people our age.
Yeah.
But back in the 80s and 90s, people actually gave a damn what kids wanted.
Yeah.
So, like, if they could find something, if they could find a way to gear something towards kids, which I think if they do that again nowadays, if they go back to making kids feel important, then, you know, I think that would kind of, you know, help things, and it would also help broaden more. I mean, because because a lot of these animated series that are going to be out now, I'm sure are going to be good, but I do feel like cartoons do have to be geared towards kids.
Well, kids should be able to enjoy them.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do like adult animated series. Like, I don't want to do a spoiler, but when we come back, we got a bunch of big episodes coming up.
Okay.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. We are not doing an episode next week because you will be out of town. But yeah, no, when you and I come back, yeah, there's a shitload of stuff. Like, there's already a long laundry list of stuff we got to do.
And one of those things is, I've been saying it for months now, you and me have to watch all of Invincible and then do a review on the show.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be our cartoon spotlight, but we got to do that. Because people have been talking about it heavy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, and also, too, I also happen to like, adult animated series. Like, well, I like South Park.
Yeah.
I used to like Family Guy. That kind of went away. Simpsons I stopped liking back when I was told I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are good, and I'm not saying that, you know, everything has to be geared towards kids, but even the cartoons that are geared towards kids now, they suck.
Yeah, well, it was different when they were geared, because Batman the Animated Series, technically geared towards kids, right?
Teenagers, yeah.
Yeah. I can watch that now and watch a whole season and sit back and enjoy myself. Like, it still had enough in there. The good cartoon stuff to put a little in for the parents or the adults, so where you could sit there and enjoy it too.
I think Real Ghostbusters, though, was one of them.
Yeah, it was.
It was one of them. Turtles, which, by the way, Real Ghostbusters, Winston, the Ghostbuster was actually played by Ernie Hudson in the movie.
Yeah.
Is actually voiced by Arsenio Hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And Ray, who was played by Dan Aykroyd in the movie.
Yeah.
Was voiced by Frank Welker in this cartoon. Frank Welker, for anybody that doesn't know, was Fred in Scooby-Doo.
Holy shit.
And, Frank Welker also...
Curious George, Garfield the Show, did a lot of voice work.
Yeah, I mean, he is probably one of the greatest voice actors of all time. Along with the guy that, so his voice can be found everywhere, just like Mel Blanc, who,
yeah.
Known for the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Also Heathcliff and several others, so... But yeah, Frank Welker, along with Mel Blanc, is probably up there as one of the greatest character voice actors of all time.
Well, it's not really like that now, because now a lot of celebrities also do voice acting. But back then, voice acting was its own trade. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Like, if you were on one show, the audition process for another show was a lot easier. Like, you would see multiple people do different voices on different shows, for even different characters sometimes on the same show.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, Ninja Turtles. A lot of those guys that, like, voice the Ninja Turtles, you can find their voices on other cartoons.
Exactly. Like, they would shop around a little more.
Yeah, because they could do that. But, see, now it's just like, okay, you could do one but not the other, unless you're Seth MacFarlane and you create all these shitty shows.
Yeah. You got anything else on Ghostbusters, bud?
Just, it was a great show. It's not really, I think you can actually find it. It might be on Amazon. I think everything is on Amazon Prime now.
Yeah, but you gotta buy it.
Bullshit, I'll keep the DVD.
Yeah.
No, it was a great show. Loved it when I was a kid. And I'm glad we got to kind of talk about it too. And so if anybody has the opportunity, you could probably even find the episodes on YouTube, too. That's how we watch James Bond Jr.
Yeah.
But, yeah, check it out. Slimer is just...
You're a funny little bastard.
Yeah. And we will be doing a spotlight on the toys very soon.
Okay, cool.
I may... probably next time I go hunting, because now, like, I'm not just hunting you know, going out to the stores and all that, but like I'm also doing online hunts.
Yeah.
Because my business partner, of course, our buddy Eric, is not necessarily allowed to leave his house right now. So so him and I have kind of decided, okay, well, you know, because we want to kind of turn this into a thing.
Yeah.
So we're doing online hunts. So we joined like 10 different Facebook toy groups. And they're running claim sales all the time. I actually almost bought a Winston figure yesterday, but it was also one of those kind of claim sales where you actually had to be like, you have to sit by your computer until somebody answers you. But we had a show, so that really couldn't happen.
All right.
Believe it or not, my first priority is this show.
Aw. You ready to move on to the character spotlight, bud?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be doing a badass young woman today. The beautiful, the badass alien warrior Princess Starfire.
From Teen Titans, right?
Teen Titans,
regular Titans.
Yeah, she's a staple of the Teen Titans. That's where she started. Known as longtime girlfriend to my favorite superhero of all time, Nightwing, Dick Grayson. They've got together at a lot of comic book storylines. A lot of people will recognize her from the cartoon. If you grew up to the cartoon as a kid, you know Starfire.
Yeah. I mean, I really didn't want it because that was when I started to kind of grow up.
Great show, though. Great fucking show.
I know you used to watch it all the time.
I love that show, man.
So, but I also remember her from the Titans TV show.
Yes.
And how much of a badass she was.
And now we got to get into some controversy.
Uh-oh.
Because, and I don't want to get into too much here or, you know, say something stupid, but.
We never do that on this show.
She got a lot of controversy because she's one of those characters. If you've seen her in the cartoon and you see her comics, her skin is orange. She's an alien, right?
Yeah.
They made her an African-American young lady in the show. I don't have an issue with it. I don't care about the recastings and shit. I know people, like, I'm in this DC group on Facebook, and they fucking go nuts, and it's so stupid. But it's like, she's an alien. She can be whatever. Like, does it matter?
It shouldn't.
Like, I understand that people, like, they want the character to be the character, but I don't think Starfire in the Titan show is still Starfire. It doesn't matter.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that, like, the character is orange. Believe it or not, like, in real life, unless you're Donald Trump, you don't have orange skin.
Yeah.
And technically, I could say that now because he's no longer president. I can't necessarily be arrested and or, you know, deported, mainly because I was born here.
Well, because a lot of people are going nuts over, obviously, the announcement of a black Superman. That's a different discussion for a different day. But people gave her a lot of flack for making Starfire African-American. I think it was a great move. First of all, the girl that played her, I got to find her name. She was fucking amazing. Did a great job, right?
Yeah.
Anna Doyle. Or Diop, sorry. But amazing in Titans. She stole the show for me. I loved watching
her. Because I think the first few episodes, I thought Dick was a pussy.
Yeah. I love Dick. But,
oh, that's going to be a meme somewhere.
Dick's my favorite. But let me talk about Starfire a little bit because she is, I mean, you got the DC Universe has huge alien characters, right? Superman's an alien.
Yeah.
What's his name? Is it Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
The difference about her is that she was basically the princess. She was royalty on her planet. And there's this villain, her sister Blackfire, and they fight a lot.
Right. What's actually funny is that, like, you know, you just said Superman's an alien, right? There's probably a lot of people going, wait a minute, Superman's an alien? Yes, Krypton is not a town in Iowa. Yes, we didn't mean to break anything.
Yeah, sorry, spoiler alert.
But yeah, no, with Starfire, and I'll say this, and then I'll let you get back to your point. I really liked her because she is one of those badass female super. She's kind of like a Wonder Woman. Because
yes.
Wonder Woman is human. Well, I mean, Amazons aren't human, right?
No.
They're not?
Well, I mean, she's... We can settle. We can say she's a goddess, basically.
All right, so she's like a goddess, but she's not like alien, though.
No, she's not.
But there's... She is, but Starfire is badass. We saw her kick a lot of ass in the movie, just like, you know, we always see Wonder Woman kick a lot of ass. And there's got to be a point where, like, the two of them are going to meet up in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of interactions in the comics because Starfire, she does help the League at some points, but she is a Teen Titans member. She is a Titans member. And Wonder Woman's usually mostly
just... Well, isn't one of the other Titans on there? Like, wasn't she like Diana's niece or something?
Donna Troy, yeah, but that's because the Titans originally started out as sidekicks, but she wasn't never a sidekick.
Starfire wasn't, though.
No. Starfire was never a sidekick.
Starfire just kind of came along just because, you know, she happened to protect, what was the girl's name, Raven?
Yeah, in the show, that was the case. But... Because the Titans originally started out Robin, Aquaman's sidekick, Garth, Roy Harper, who was Speedy. He was Arrow's sidekick, and Donna Troy. So they started out with sidekicks, but then they kind of reinvented the book, and that's when they, you know, had her walk in, and Raven and Beast Boy, and that's the Teen Titans we all know today.
Right.
But... She is a legitimate badass woman. Another controversy, people think, because the New 52, let me show you a New 52 picture. It was kind of their reboot of DC continuity, and they, like, gave the artist flack for making her too hot and making her too sexual. You see that picture, right?
Yeah, I see that picture. I mean, I personally don't have a problem
with it. Well, I know you don't.
No, I'm not even trying to be perverted. It's just like... I think they're trying to gear towards all different. I mean, they're not obviously trying to gear towards kids, because like you cannot show that to a 6-year old.
Well, no.
I mean, if you do, you go to jail. But I would know.
No, you're right. Because I mean, let's be honest, the kids love it. I'm sure there are female comic book fans. And there's a lot of them, but the majority of comic book guys usually look like us. So I don't really blame them for trying to make characters, you know, a bit more. But the Starfire, she's so badass. She doesn't need to be sexified. There's so much to do with this character. She has been in so many different things. Her relationship with Dick. Her relationship with Nightwing. I love it. Those two together, it's so different, it's so weird, and it's my favorite relationship in the DC universe.
Right. I mean, and here's the thing, like, trying to gear to, because most, like you said, most comic book readers look like us. A lot of comic book readers have never been laid. So,
Not us, though.
Not you. But, so, like, you know, kind of making a character that hot, well, first of all, don't make a character that hot because you don't know what some of these perverts are going to do with that book.
Oh, let me get into her powers real quick.
Thank God. Thank you for transitioning.
She can constantly absorb ultraviolet radiation. Then she converts it into pure energy, allowing her to fly at supersonic speeds. She can use this power to fly in space and go fast enough to cross several solar systems in minutes or seconds. The energy also gives her incredible superhuman strength and durability.
Badass, right? Oh, my God.
Starfire does not fuck around.
No, she doesn't. I remember the one episode of Teen Titans where this one villain actually forced Robin to take his daughter to prom or something.
Yeah.
And Starfire was actually like completely jealous the entire time. And by the way, I can't remember the villain's name. I just know he was voiced by Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
Who was Lowell in the show Wings. And that was like the only good guy role he's ever played.
Yeah.
Because in every other role that he's had, he's been a complete piece of shit. But Lowell was like the only like good guy role he ever had.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember him ever playing a baby face in a role except for that one.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, I love the Titans show. I thought it was there's some things I don't like about it, though.
That explains why we haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah, there are some things. I just think it could be done a lot better. I am a proponent for a Teen Titans movie. What do you think about seeing Starfire on the big screen? I think it needs to happen. For powerful female characters, come on.
I mean, I do agree with that. And who knows, I mean, if Warner Brothers kind of gets their shit together.
Yeah.
And they continue with that DC universe, like, we can get it.
Yeah.
It's just, there's still a lot of... And also, you got to remember, too, you know, everybody said, well, that everybody's got a sour taste in their mouth from, you know, the Justice League movie. That was corrected.
Yeah, it was corrected.
It was corrected. But now you have to also remember that we're still trying to get over a pandemic here.
Yeah.
So not everything, I mean, everything is going to be, bless you again, everything is going to be back to normal. Bless you again. Everything's going to be back to normal eventually, but, like, they're still trying to get over, you know, the pandemic and the fact that not a lot of people were, you know, people were basically barricaded inside their house.
Yeah, I mean, theaters are just starting to open back up.
Theaters are opening back up. I mean, there still are some people that are still kind of chained inside their house.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's why everything's going to, like, HBO Max and all that shit. But you still have people that are kind of chained inside their house with peanut butter on their nipples and bananas in their tailpipes.
The problem with these superhero movies, though, is they cost a lot of money, so you kind of need to make money off.
Right, which is one of the reasons why I think Warner Brothers, I think, will continue that DC universe, but they're going to wait a couple of years.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll stick with Snyder, but that's their own fault. All right, let's go on the Marvel side of things. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, Starfire, it was nice talking about her badass character. If you want good things to check out with her, check out the Titans show nowadays. You might like it. And check out the Teen Titans original cartoon, not Teen Titans Go.
Right.
Teen Titans Go. That's too kiddie. But the original Teen Titans cartoon from, like, the early 2000s, check that out if you want good Starfire. And definitely read a lot of her comic runs because she's a badass character. Now, we're going to finish with our toy spotlight like we did last week.
Okay.
And we're going to move.
Should I go get it?
If you want to get it. I've already seen it. And this is a radio, so I think we'll be okay.
Right.
Immortal Iron Fist. Do you know a lot about Iron Fist, Doug?
I do not. So go ahead.
All right. I chose this one because a lot of people still have this sour taste in their mouth from the Netflix show, Iron Fist, because it was a shitty show. And I agree. Terrible show. The guy from Game of Thrones was in it, and Loras Tyrell or whatever. And it was okay, but it was very boring. I fell asleep multiple times. I agree, not that great of a show. But Iron Fist as a character is a lot more badass than you got to see in that show. He is one of the fiercest ninja warriors in the Marvel Universe. He, incredibly badass, probably the greatest hand-to-hand combatant. And this is his definitive story. I'm going with issues 1-6, the last Iron Fist story. That's my recommendation for people this week. You want to check out a good story, good versus evil. He's going against a group that a lot of people know, Hydra, from Captain America.
Oh, okay.
So Hydra's going against him. And there was an original Iron Fist. It's called The Last Iron Fist Story. It's called Orson Randall. And Danny Rand has to go. He ends up, like, you know, finding this book. And he brings, like, Orson back. And Orson helps him fight Hydra. And they go through. The whole story doesn't really get finished in these six issues. You should read the whole 27-issue run of Immortal Iron Fist to get the whole story. But these first six issues, man, they really stood out to me. And I really enjoyed just the way that Orson Randall, I mean, he's not the most known character of all time in Marvel, but in the advice he would give to Danny Rand. And Rand is, we hear about the rich playboy millionaires a lot in comic books.
Yeah.
And he's no different, but he's a little, like, he's very chill, and he doesn't care about the company. He just cares about what's right. And that makes you kind of more drawn to him.
Right. It makes sense.
And all the kung fu shit is just badass. Some of the art, here, let me pull up some of the art for you, Doug. But he's just an incredible badass. Iron Fist, he's probably been done the dirtiest. He's probably been done the dirtiest by live action because his TV show sucked, but he really is a dope character. And the Immortal Iron Fist is the definitive Iron Fist run you're going to want to read. So make sure to check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I think we're going to close out here with a little board game.
Yeah.
We're going to stay on Marvel. What do you got?
It's Captain America board game. We haven't played it yet. I mean, we have like 10 different – this is how lazy him and I are, ladies and gentlemen. We have 10 different board games that I have acquired over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. We've played one. We did Captain America last week, bud. Yeah, we did. No, but we talked about it last week.
Why'd you put it under the thing?
Shit.
That's fine. You want to do the Batman one? We play Batman.
Yeah, that's actually what we were supposed to do.
Well, that's a fuck up on our part.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I apologize.
It's all good. We're going to be doing the Batman game, though, which is really fun.
Which actually we did play.
Yeah.
So, that's stupid.
That's
So yes, the Batman board game is really fun. I mean, we still do have to play all these other board games.
Yeah, maybe we'll play
that. Sounds good to me. And I'm actually doing a game night next week, and I'm actually telling people these are the fucking board games we're playing. Assholes. But no, the Batman board game. So basically it's for 2 to 4 players. There's only 4 pieces in there, right?
Yeah.
Which I think the pieces were, what, red, blue, green, and white or something?
Yeah. Like different colored red.
Yeah. And basically what you have to do is you start from, like, different locations, and you go to, and basically you have to go to the Batcave, then get your destination of where you're supposed to go, move there, and then, like, you can do battles and stuff. It's from 1989. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game. Because, you know, I've been getting back in the board game kick as of late. The problem is trying to find people to play this stuff with me. Because when I asked my co-host here, hey, you want to play more game? Yeah, we'll see.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I always want to play the game. We just can't get Sharon to join us. We need 3.
Yeah, I know. Well, they are for 2 to 4 players, and I think you and I would look like a couple of losers if it was just...
Yeah, I don't care about that. I still get ass.
Yeah. But no, this Batman game, and your Batman villains in there, you have Penguin, you have Catwoman, you have Joker, and Riddler.
Yes.
I think those are the four main... I don't know, is Two-Face... I can't remember if Two-Face was in it or not.
I think Two-Face was in it, but we all drew the Penguin anyway, so...
Well, yeah, that's because one of us doesn't know how to shuffle.
You.
I was kidding. it's a really fun game. I found it actually at the House of Fun.
Did you?
Because there was a whole corner, and their corner wall was all filled with board games and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my thing about going to that place. I saw a shitload of stuff I wanted. The problem is that a lot of, like, collectible toy stores, they don't have baskets. They don't have shopping carts because they're just, you know, like, kind of not necessarily mom-and-pop stores, but
they're not big old fucking
– They're not Walmart. They're not chain stores or something like that. So they're not going to order shopping carts and shit.
No, there's no reason to.
Okay. So, but when you see, like, 10 or 12 things that you want, you can't hold 10 or 12 things. All right? And the, one of the people that went with me, my buddy Kenny, I was looking for him to help me carry the stuff. He kept fucking walking away from me.
Yeah, and he video chatted me.
Yeah, he video chatted Dan. As I'm looking, and I'm like, all right, Kenny, I'm going to need you to hold this stuff. Oh, okay. So he goes, he pays for the stuff that he buys, and then he starts standing over there. It's like, motherfucker, get back over here. Like, you're supposed to hold this shit. Like, so I could keep buying, because, you know, it's one of those things, and a lot of those stores actually do let you, like, if you pick something out, like, if you're going to buy it, they will kind of hold it for you.
Yeah.
But also, the girl that was working the front counter was also trying to sort the comic books for the shop. So, and I was trying to let her do her job. So, like, I just wanted to be like, hey, can I hold this here or whatever? But, you know, that place is like, so you walk in and, like, their front part, you know, where the counter is and all that, they do have some stuff up there, but it's not, like, a great selection. And it's just like, I guess it's going to be, like, a kind of a shitty, but then you see that there's kind of a hallway in the back room.
Yeah.
And in that back part, that's where everything is. And you're just like, oh. It's a great place to go to. I actually can't wait to go back. Not necessarily looking forward to
that. You should try to partner up with these guys. Maybe plug them.
Yeah. If I can actually, like, try to get a hold of them. I remember I told the girl that worked there. I said, just so you know, you work in, like, an awesome place. And she goes, yeah, I know. She goes, I love working here. But, yeah, no, the Batman game, really cool to play. I know I enjoyed it.
I had a good time.
Yeah. Although the one thing is that, like, every time we play a board, every new board game we play with Sharon, she's always the first winner.
Yeah. Fucking sucks.
But, yeah, no, that's a great game to play. We're going to be doing more board games. Well, we're going to be doing a lot of, there's a lot of different toys we're going to be spotlighting because, you know, I got all the stuff that I've been buying. I mean, I'm running out of room in the house.
Yeah.
Like, my room is just, like,
going to need a fucking storage unit.
Yeah. So, which is one of the reasons why Eric and I need to get business going, like, as soon as possible. But yeah, no, Batman game, 1989, tremendous game.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I think we're going to close out here. What
yeah.
What do you think? Great episode.
Yeah, I had fun. Now, we're not going to be on the air next week because I don't want to do this by myself.
No.
And
then we're going to come back, and we will be talking about Invincible. We'll still have a cartoon spotlight, but I do want to watch it and review it. Cause
yeah, no, we will.
Right now.
Yeah. We'll have to try to spend, every night. You might have to give up Big Brother for a few nights. So
it's just a 6-episode season, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that'll be easy. We could get that done in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, and it's an animated series, so we should be good.
Well, they're not hour episodes, right? They're only, like, 6 hours. They're only, like...
So, yeah, they're only 6 hours. 6 hours an episode.
8 episodes... And I'm assuming half hour.
Yeah, it's about 42. But that's still not bad.
We could do that in about 3 days.
Yeah, we'll be fine. And we have 2 weeks to do it. So we'll do that next time. Is there anything else you want to give them?
Just obviously remember, you know, Dirt Sheet Dudes. Check us out for the UFC episode that's going to drop probably on Monday. Unscripted Wrestling, Doug's History Lesson on Friday. Find the polls, vote to which mid-carder you want me to do the history lesson on. I doubt Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman's going to get any love. If he did and he ended up winning and we ended up doing that show, that would be like 15 minutes.
Also, not this Saturday, because we won't be here, but the Saturday we come back will be the return of Settle It in the Ring.
Okay, good.
And we'll be getting, who won last time? I lost. Did Eric,
Eric won? Yeah, Eric won.
Eric will be defending his belt against two people of my choosing. So that
of
will
your
be
choosing?
Thing. Yes.
Does he know that yet?
That doesn't matter. He will know. He'll make his booking. He signed a contract.
It's just as long as he doesn't have to leave his house, yeah, he'll make his booking.
Yeah, we'll be fine. All right. Unscripted Unlimited family, thank you for joining us. Doug, this is always a pleasure.
Happy to be here.
We'll catch you all next time.
You're going to pay my trans, right?